All right. We know that part of the beauty of life is the beauty of good marriages. So let's revisit a topic I discussed some time ago on the significance of fidelity. All right, everyone. Good to have you back with me, your loyal host, Carl Thornton Jr., where today I'm going to be spending some time, more time, on real talk about real relationships. The first hour, I'm going to focus most of that time on the issue of fidelity, very important for men and women. And then the second hour, we're going to be taking another look at trauma and abuse and how it impacts our families, and that with a special guest, an expert on the subject, when we come up in the second hour. So here we go, starting with the first hour with a look at fidelity, the significance of fidelity. And this is indeed radio for the mind and the soul, ladies and gentlemen. You know that. That's what we've been sharing with you for quite some time now. Radio for the mind and the soul, helping us think through situations, helping us get in touch with what's happening in our inner man and the inner woman, and how we can bring all of that together so that the thoughts of the mind flow together with what's happening in the soul, in the emotions, and the will, so that we make more sense of our life as it is within us, and so that we make better sense of life around us. Yeah, we're working to build the individual, the family, and the community. And that is what it's been all about since 2005, when I first started airing Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. So how about it, ladies and gentlemen? Is it important that we not only ask the question, do I want to be trusted by the person I'm exchanging vows with? Do I believe that the person I'm going to exchange vows with is worthy of my trust? And finally, is the person I'm going to be exchanging vows with, am I worthy of that person's trust? We're going to exchange vows. Are we worthy of each other's trust? Now, it is fair to ask both questions too, ladies and gentlemen. You need to ask, am I worthy of the trust that I want? But you also need to ask. This isn't just a want. This is not a luxury. You need to ask, am I worthy of the trust I want? Is he or she worthy of the trust that he or she wants? Both of you need to be worthy of the trust. Now, when you're evaluating what you bring to the table, you're looking at yourselves to see what's really, really there. This is something we need to be aware of when it comes to our attitudes, because very often our attitudes really do affect how we think. And of course, how we think determines how we behave. We sometimes want to be viewed simply based on what we portray, whether what we portray is reality or not. We should be viewed by our spouse or our fiance. Our spouse once we're married, children once we start having children. We should be viewed based on who we really are. Now, here's the question. If you have any concerns about being viewed as you really are, then you need to step back, take the time to consider this. This question. Do we approve enough of who we really are, that we don't mind letting others, fiance, spouse, children, see the real us? Do we approve enough of ourselves, of who we really are, that we don't mind letting others see the real us? You notice I keep emphasizing enough. Do we approve enough? The reason I'm pointing it out is because the truth is none of us is perfect. And so we're not asking, are we perfect, so that we don't mind folks seeing the real us. We're not proposing that we have to be perfect before we can approve of ourselves. No, that's unrealistic. The question is there enough good in us? And are we working diligently enough to minimize or eliminate the bad that we can, that we're okay with people seeing the real us? Because that's really who your partner needs to live with, the real you. You're going to be living with the real partner. And some of you have found that out. Some of you are already married. And I know some of you have said, you know, when we were dating, the person was like this. But now they're very, very different. He or she is very, very different. The person that I live with now is not the person I married. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the person you're living with now is the person you married, and the person you married was just hiding the real him or her, himself, herself. Maybe the person who married you married the real you who was just hidden from them at the time. It's important for us to be real, ladies and gentlemen, and not after the vows are exchanged, but before the vows are being exchanged. So why is all that important? Again, because what we're trying to do is make sure that we set ourselves up for success in marriage and not failure in marriage. And the more honest we are about what we bring to the table, the more honest we are with ourselves, the more honest we are with our potential partners, the more we set ourselves up for success, whether that means through the revealing of who we really are, you decide that you're not meant to be together, or through the revealing of who you really are, you know what to start working on before, even before you begin to exchange vows. Because you decide that even though these are some things I don't like about you, these are some things that you don't like about me, we can live together. And you decide to go ahead and go forward with the plans. Go ahead and make it to the altar, or jump the broom, justice of the peace, whatever you're going to do, and exchange those vows and begin towards the journey of living almost happily ever after. Yeah, so what do? You've got to figure out what you bring to the table. And some of that you'll be doing in conversation with each other. Some of it, a lot of it, you need to be doing on your own. Don't make it so hard for your partner or your potential partner to know who you are. Take a lot of the guesswork out of it by figuring out for yourself who you really are, so you can tell that person who you really are. They pick up on some things you don't pick up on, that's fine. But they shouldn't be doing 90% of it, just like you shouldn't be doing 90% of figuring out who they really are. Know who you are and be able to convey that to one another. All right, now, we've made it to the broom, or to the altar, to the justice of the peace, and we are now husband and wife. What leads sometimes to unfaithfulness? I'm going to share with you some of the things that can lead to unfaithfulness. I know I've talked about this whole issue of not knowing what we bring to the table. That's very, very general. Now I'm going to get a little bit more specific. And I'll let you know now that some of these points that I'm going to share with you can overlap. It can be any combination. It can be one of these. It can be any combination of them. And I'm only going to give a few, because I guarantee you, after I've shared with you the few that I'm going to share with you, I guarantee you a number of you could actually pitch in and share some other things that would also contribute to the beginnings of unfaithfulness. And as you know, I definitely invite you to share your thoughts with us. So again, you can go to facebook.com/Carl Thornton Jr. That's CarlThornTonJr. You can go to my website and leave a blog at speakingwith.com. And tell us, what are some of the things that lead to unfaithfulness? 803-279-7677. Don't even have to talk about yourself. Just generally speaking, what are some of the factors that lead to unfaithfulness? One of them is, and this is very, very closely related to what I've been talking about when it comes to knowing yourself, but now a little bit more different, lack of commitment. Yeah, you remember I was sharing with you a little earlier, not today, but previously, that some people don't realize that they bring to the table a lack of commitment. Yeah, can you imagine that? A lack of commitment some people bring to the table. Now, I know for some of you who couldn't imagine it being that way, people at the altar, already with all the makeup, all the characteristics of being unfaithful. But it really is true. You know, I've heard of situations where, and this is tragic, it's always tragic, but can you imagine this? A person is at the altar, they get married in the afternoon, and the same evening that they've gotten married, they got married that afternoon. And let's, I'm just going to make up a date to make sure that we're all on the same page. July 22nd, 1995, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Joe and Barbara get married. And at 8 p.m. that same day, she's out committing adultery. She's having sex with another man. Now, and I'm telling you, having sex, because I don't want you to think, I know, you know, we know that a person can look on someone with lust in their hearts and it can be adultery. I'm not talking about just looking. I mean having sexual intercourse, the physical interaction, the same day of the wedding, just hours after exchanging vows, out having sex with someone else. She brought to the table a lack of commitment. There are many people who bring to the table a lack of commitment, a lack of commitment to their spouse, a lack of commitment to marriage in general, the whole general concept of marriage and what it's supposed to be about, a lack of commitment to marriage vows. When we come back, I'll share with you where else this lack of commitment extends. You're listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. as I discuss with you the significance of fidelity. I'll be right back.